Hello there and welcome to USsoccer.com's Road to the Roster. I'm your host, Troy Barty, where each week we'll sit down the head coach of the men's national team, Jürgen Klinsmann, and ask him about everything surrounding the men's national team in the build-up to the naming of the roster for the 2014 FIFA World Cup. In this episode, we'll ask the head coach about what stood out to him from this past weekend's matches around the world, Julian Green's decision to join the men's national team, the CONCACAF Champions League, and his concerns ahead of the FIFA World Cup. We also hear from U.S. men's national team and Aston Villa goalkeeper Brad Guzan about his team's 1-0 victory over Chelsea this past weekend. It's all coming up on this edition of Road to the Roster. We now join the men's national team press officer, Michael Kammerman, who's sitting down with the head coach.
We are joined again by the head coach of the U.S. men's national team, Jürgen Klinsmann. Jürgen, another full slate of games in MLS, in Mexico, and across Europe this past weekend. What are some of the things that stuck out in your mind?
Well, I think, you know, a couple of things that obviously is exciting. You know, Brad Guzan beating Chelsea, you know, and not conceding a goal. Timmy Howard with Everton, they are doing really, really well. A bit worried about Jermaine Jones. Jermaine Jones hasn't played for Besiktas, and I spoke with him and I told him, listen, you got to pick it up now. You got to pick up the rhythm. He's sure he's playing next weekend then. But so they are very, very good positive things, and then some worrying stuff. And Jermaine is one of those where I really worry about now slowly, because he hasn't played many games over the last couple of months. And then there's obviously huge excitement throughout MLS. Michael Bradley back on the field, first game, right away a win. But he needs now to pick up a rhythm and getting games. And then, you know, there's a huge topic with the CONCACAF Champions League. You know, we have three teams, MLS, from an MLS perspective in there. One big clash with Tijuana, where hey, we have a couple of players as well. So that's exciting to see and to watch, and hopefully they get all their results that they want to have.
Exciting news for the U.S. men's national team programs that Julian Green has chosen to represent the United States. What does this decision mean for this team and this program?
Well, this is an absolute wonderful decision, obviously made by Julian and his family, to join the American side, to join the U.S. men's national team going forward into hopefully a very, very long and fantastic career. It means a lot to us because this is one of the biggest talents coming through European football right now. So we were in touch with him over a longer stretch of time. We invited him to the game against the Ukraine to train with us, to get to know the staff, to get to know his teammates, hopefully his future teammates. And I think he saw that the work that we are doing with the national team is outstanding work. And he felt part of it from the first second on. He felt comfortable, you know, he really has the feeling that there's something very special waiting for him. And we're not only looking at Julian for this summer's World Cup, we're looking obviously into the future with, you know, the Gold Cups, with the Olympics coming up in 2016 in Rio de Janeiro, with the next World Cup on the line. And so having his commitment to the U.S. Is a huge step. Also for us, because, you know, there's all this discussion about American kids coming through different countries and suddenly being on the horizon for the national team is monitored all over the world. And it's a process that other nations went through it already 10 or 20 years ago. France that won the World Cup in 98, or the Germans in 2006 or 2010 with a lot of dual citizenship players. Other countries, you know, went through those experiences already before us. Now it's happening more and more with United States, and it gives us a new dimension, you know, because I think those players now choose the American side also because of they see what happens with soccer in our country. They see MLS getting bigger and bigger. They see the national team is doing a better and a better job, hopefully, and being more and more successful going down the road. And they see many other opportunities coming up, and they see their part of the American life, you know, in their future. So it's huge, and we are thrilled.
Well, you were part of the Germany national team for many, many years. You've been in clubs in Italy, France, England. You've been in all kinds of different environments. A lot of the players that have chosen to play for the U.S. that were dual citizens, talk from the beginning about how they felt like they were part of the group from the second they walked in, that they liked the vibe, that they liked the energy of the group and the way the players interacted. When we're going up against countries like Germany that have won the World Cup, how important and valuable is it to have that type of team spirit and environment in the U.S. for players to make those decisions?
Well, I really strongly believe that at the end of the day, when you have to make a big decisions between two countries that you could represent, and you go with that one country where you feel this is me, this is where my feelings go towards, this is where my heart belongs, and them choosing the United States means that the emotional side is more leaned towards the lifestyle, the mentality, the attitude that Americans bring to the table. So they are welcomed with open arms. You know, they get a hug when they meet new people. We show them a path for their future, and they are deeply connected with the United States. You know, and obviously when you make a decision like that when you're 18, 19, or 20 years old, you know, at the end of the day, also you see your life in the United States. So for a player, if it's a Julian Green or a Terrence Boyd or a Fabian Johnson or whoever it is, later on they see their life actually being in the U.S., maybe coming one day to MLS and play and finish their career there, or even playing bigger part of their career, like now a Michael Bradley or a Clint Dempsey came back to MLS. But also they see their life deeply connected to the United States. So in sports, you make your decisions mostly based on emotions. So clearly this is a sign that emotionally they are more connected to the United States than they are to the other option that they have in mind. You know, Aron Johansson if it's Iceland, or a mixed disco route if it's Norway. They chose the United States because that's where they feel they belong to. And it's huge for us. And this kind of energy and this vibe and this spirit carries our team. And at the end of the day, hopefully it carries that spirit into the games where there's a difficult moment. We have to pull all on the same strings in order to maybe 1-0 down. We got to turn this game around and we're going to win or tie this game in the last second. And I think those things make it happen then because they're emotionally connected to what they're doing.
Part of this process with Julian for the last year and a half has been dealing with your former club, Bayern Munich. How much of a part of the process were they?
Oh, they were a big part of the process because obviously for Julian it's very important that he's supported by his club, and this is one of the biggest clubs in the world. When he makes a decision like that, because it involves maybe in the future time more traveling, you know, kind of difficult timelines, so it was important that the club is on the same page, you know. So we really want to thank Bayern Munich, and especially, you know, the CEO Kalle Rummenigge, you know, Matthias Sammer is the sporting director, and especially his coach Pep Guardiola, that from the beginning on actually supported that move by Julian. You know, I'm in touch with Pep over the last 2-3 years, you know, I know him. We had to do in the Champions League when I was coaching Bayern Munich, so he beat us with Barcelona. So it's great just to know that the club is behind the decision of Julian, you know. And so for me now, in this case, you know, I got to get kind of more reconnected, you know, with Bayern again, which I kind of left 4 years ago in a little bit of an argument, to say the least. But, you know, those things are past, and we are thrilled. We have a player of his magnitude. We have a player from one of the top teams in the world on the men's national team. And therefore, it's very important that both sides are on the same page.
And you mentioned the English Premier League. Brad Guzan on the weekend shutting out Chelsea. 8 clean sheets so far this year for Brad. Last year, he was the Aston Villa Player of the Year. As a coach going into a World Cup, having two class goalkeepers like Brad Guzan and Tim Howard must be a nice feeling.
Oh, it's huge. It's huge to see how Brad is pushing it and makes it also a more and more of a competitive fight with Tim Howard. Tim is our number one, clearly our number one, but you want a number two to kind of give Tim Howard the message, listen, I'm here, you know, I'm for serious. And then we have a number three with Nick Romando, which is, I think, absolutely the best goalkeeper in MLS over years now. So I think in that position, you know, we look really, really good, you know. And if a result, I mean, if you beat Chelsea, this is something special. You enjoy that for a day or two, and we're thrilled for him.
You had the chance last week to go to StubHub Center to watch the Galaxy Club Tijuana in the CONCACAF Champions League. A lot of potential World Cup players in both of those teams. What would you take away from that game?
Absolutely wonderful to watch, you know, having, you know, players from from the men's national team on both sides. Obviously, from American perspective, we want our MLS teams to go through. We want our MLS teams to go all the way into the final of the CONCACAF Champions League and win that competition, because it takes you to the World Club Championship later on. And this is a lot of prestige. It's also great competition. That's where you want an American team to be part of. So all games right now, if it's, you know, Kansas City with Cruz Azul, or if it's San Jose with Toluca, it's close. It's very, very tight. So we keep all our fingers crossed that all three of them go through.
Is there something from those types of games and competitions that you can learn differently about players than you would, say, in one of their domestic league games?
I think so, because, you know, the emotions are differently. You know, when you play a foreign team, and you have also foreign referees, you know, the handling of everything is different when you play international matches. So in that way, there's a lot for the players to learn and to take with. They got to keep their nerves under control. They face a different way of a different style of soccer. And so they have to adjust to it. They have to make the best out of it. So not everything goes their way. And therefore, it's a great learning experience. That's what we need. We need our MLS teams playing that competition as often as they can.
With so many of the players in the national team pool back in MLS and also playing in Liga MX, the competition in the CONCACAF region becomes that much more important. Things like the Gold Cup, the CONCACAF Champions League. In your mind, how important is it now that those competitions continue to grow to help our program?
Well, it's hugely important that that CONCACAF itself is getting to another level, you know, because globally, we're still far behind Europe and South America. And I think, you know, with last year's Gold Cup, that kind of brought it to a new dimension, you know, the competition, but also, you know, attendance-wise, television-wise. Following through now with the CONCACAF Champions League and get that to another level, to more importance. I mean, if you look at, you know, some teams, you know, rested their big players on the weekend in order to have them available now in these clashes between MLS teams and Mexican teams, you know, that shows you that, oh, they take it far more serious than ever before the Champions League, which is really, really important too. And I think that CONCACAF realizes that, you know, we need to kind of step it up also in terms of competition for maybe for the younger groups. I think we need to have an under 21 CONCACAF championship. We need to have an under 18 CONCACAF championships. Right now we only have the under 17s and under 20s because they move on to a World Cup. But you need all the age levels basically competing throughout CONCACAF. And give them more opportunity to play international football. So I think a lot is happening now, but we still need to catch up. We still need to do a lot more work. We still need more games on the higher level, on the international scene. And I think now following CONCACAF Champions League clashes now with Tijuana, the Galaxy, with Cruz Azul against Kansas, and with San Jose playing Toluca, those are the games that really need to get far more attention and far more value, and hopefully there are many more games in this caliber to come in the future time.
Before we hear more from the head coach Jurgen Klinsmann, I had the chance to catch up with Brad Guzan over the phone to ask him about his shutout performance against Chelsea over the weekend and much more.
You know, anytime you win, it's a good feeling, you know, and so. When you're able to do it against a team like Chelsea with, you know, so many good players on the team, it's a little bit sweeter.
Your eighth shutout of the year in all competitions. Talk about the year you guys been having.
Yeah, I mean it's nice. Those, you know, clean sheets are an added bonus, and I think, you know, having last year under our belt and most of this year, it's now trying to find more consistent. Good performances than not, and like I said, if you put together more positive performances in a row, you're going to give yourself more of a likelihood to win games and be successful in the league.
I remember after the Ukraine game in Cyprus, you told me that you guys had a few days off. How nice was it to get a break heading into that game against Chelsea?
Yeah, it was really nice. It was really nice, just because. As we know in England, there's no winter break, and you go right through Christmas and right through New Year's, and that's really the busy period of the season. You know, you're playing games. Some games are with only a day or two in between, and you know, so to have a few days off because the game in Man City was having to be rescheduled, it was nice. You know, so my wife and I were able to get away for a few days, which was really nice, and I think more mentally kind of recharge the batteries and get ready for a final push here toward the end of the season.
If you don't mind me asking, where'd you guys go?
We traveled to Italy. So we went to Rome for a few days and then to Venice for a day and a half, just to see some of the sights and do the touristy sort of things. So like I said, it was really nice. The weather was nice. Not too far away from England, and like I said, able to recharge the batteries, so it's good.
That's really one of the main luxuries in living in Europe, isn't it? When you can just be about anywhere in a few hours, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've always said since living here that we always want to try and go somewhere new each year and try and see as much of Europe as we can, just because, like you said, it's so easy to get around, whether it's via train or taking a quick flight. You know, you can be in another country just like that, and there's so much to see. So for us, it's a cool experience to be in Europe, and you know, we want to make the most of it while we can.
The World Cup roster is due just around the corner, Brad, and Jurgen has made it clear that Tim is his number one, but that you're right there every day banging at the door. What's that relationship like between you and Tim?
Yeah, it's really good. You know, we've got a good relationship both on and off the pitch, which is important. And you know, from a professional standpoint, you know, I try to push him, and I know he pushes me. He makes me better, and hopefully I make him better. And when you do that, when you create that competitive atmosphere, we know it's going to bring the best out. And you know, that's the most important thing. And for me, that's my job, you know, and it starts with my performance this year at Aston Villa, and then hopefully, you know, when given the chance with the national team to play a half, to play a game, you know, I'm able to take that chance. And come the World Cup, it's not about, I don't know, who's starting or not. It's all about the team. It's all about getting down there and doing whatever you can to help the team be successful, and that's what we're going to be trying to do.
You guys shoot each other texts over the weekend and banter a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. You know, he sent me a text because I knew he was doing the commentary for the NBC game back in America. So we were kind of talking over text, you know, on Sunday, which is nice. And you know, like I said, he's always supportive of me and vice versa. You know, so it's nice to have that relationship.
Now, off topic here, Brad, you know, we see on social media and Instagram that your teammates poke fun of you, calling you the bear or the polar bear. Can you give the fans an idea on how that nickname came about?
Yeah, so I don't even know exactly if I can remember, but I know it came, you know, I think it was probably at some point before the 2010 World Cup, and Steve Tarundolo, myself, and Jay Demerit. You know, I think it came from Jay somehow, some way. And then Stevie got into it as being the little bear. And so I don't know exactly how it came about. It stuck, and, you know, now I get tweeted pictures of polar bears from Jay Demerit. So I guess it's all good fun.
Also, I know you're a big Chicago Bears fan, and right now it's NFL free agency. The Bears have remained quiet outside of a bunch of defensive role player acquisitions. Are you at all worried about the upcoming NFL season?
So, yeah, some of my boys back home have been keeping me in the loop of players that we've missed out on or players that have opted to go elsewhere. So hopefully they could They can make a few moves here, because to get back to the Super Bowl.
On a more serious note, Stoke City and Jeff Cameron come to town this Sunday. How big is that upcoming matchup for Stoke?
Yeah, it's going to be huge, you know, for a few reasons. And and obviously there'll be some bragging rights or whatnot in it just because of the American rivalry. But more importantly, you know, we're so close together in the table that, you know, a win on Sunday can really separate, you know, ourselves from a few teams towards the bottom and really kind of give us that confidence towards the last few games here of the season. And so it's going to be an important game and, you know, a game that we're going to want to try and win for sure.
We all know how important each game in the Premiership is, but does each game and each start feel a little bit more important because it's a World Cup year?
I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, obviously you're stupid to say it doesn't mean anything because it is a World Cup year and it's a special time. It only comes, obviously, once every 4 years. And so it's a special time of the year. And, you know, in saying that, you want to be playing well. You want to have, you know, confidence in your ability as an individual player and somebody that can help the team, whether it's your club team or the national team. And like I said, especially at this time with the World Cup right around the corner, everyone wants to be playing well and wants to catch the coach's eye, whether it's a national team manager or the club team manager. You want to be playing well and hopefully you can take that confidence and that ability from your club team and transition into the World Cup.
Thanks for taking the time, Brad, and we wish you the best of luck this weekend.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it, Troy.
We now rejoin the U.S. Men's National Team's press officer, Michael Kamerman, and the head coach, Jürgen Klinsmann.
Part of this opportunity now to see the games in MLS every weekend is building towards the roster on April 2nd. We've talked a little bit about how you plan on putting that roster together, but what type of opportunity does this game present to those players?
Obviously, the biggest opportunity for players is always to have a game with the men's national team. That's why we kind of split the roster into the European part, you know, for the Ukraine game, and then having now the MLS and Mexican-based players coming in for the Mexico game on April 2nd. So that's the best showcase for them to prove to us where they're at right now. And then, you know, it's all down to their performances in their club teams, what roles they're playing there, and how they actually kind of take things on. And with taking things on, I mean, what personality do they bring, you know, to the game? You know, are they leaders? Are they standing out? Are they decision makers? Are they really kind of difference makers? You know, if I talk about an attacking midfielder, is he playing the killer ball into the striker? If it's a striker, is he finishing off things? Is he scoring goals? That's the biggest argument for a striker. That's why we kind of suffer along a bit with Jozy Altidore. We want him to get back on the scoring front because it will give him far more confidence, like the confidence he had last summer playing the World Cup qualifiers. You know, that was the Jozy Altidore that we hope to see, you know, as soon as possible. So every player in his own position is building his case through his own performances, but not only the performance kind of playing-wise, also, you know, is he the leader of his club? Is he standing out? Is his club coach telling me that he's doing more than his club teammates? You know, or is he just going with the flow? You know, is he just happy to be one of them, which for a national team player shouldn't be the case.
2 months now before the World Cup preparation camp starts, as you follow all the players that are in the pool, what is it that worries you?
Well, point number one, definitely playing time. You need to play. You need to get your minutes in, and we monitor every player, how many minutes he's getting, you know, into the books right now. And also, obviously, how they play, so we communicate with their coaches. So that's why, you know, Jermaine Jones needs to pick it up now, and other players as well. Point number two, which is very critical to us as well, is obviously injury concerns. You know, players that, you know, pick up injuries now, will be very, very difficult for us then at the end of the day to take them with to Brazil. So obviously we are a little bit worried about Clint Dempsey getting fouled I don't know how many times in this game against Toronto, because your key players, you know, in a certain way, you want them to be a little bit protected, you know, protected in a way that, you know, people can't overdo it. This was one of the main issues already when he came back into MLS, you know, last fall. They really kind of banged him in every game. I mean, far over the edge. So I hope that, you know, MLS is having an eye on that and saying, you know what, you know, don't. I mean, obviously, I understand every opponent, you know, that faces Clint Dempsey. How do we want to shut him down? So you got to be on his toes and you got to be very physical. But all, you know, within, you know, the rules. And what I saw there on the weekend, there were certain things not within the rules anymore. So I hope that, you know, our players in a certain way get a little bit of protection because they need to be healthy going into this World Cup.
You've talked about how the what the intensity is going to be like what the when the World Cup preparation camp starts. So how critical is it then that the players are building towards that camp and it things like injuries that can set them back?
Well, it's very critical because if they pick up injuries now, it's huge setbacks. And it's not because obviously the level that we're going to face this summer is far beyond of what they're playing right now. With all due respect to every club and every team's environment, but even if you play in the Premier League, it's not going to be the level that you're going to face in the World Cup. So even those players that play in the Premier League need to pick it up and need to go another one or two levels higher up and or in the Bundesliga or wherever it is. So if they pick up now an injury, it hurts you double as much. And if they don't do extra work in terms of, you know, additional training sessions, additional tactical work, additional things, you know, off the field that are kind of helping towards the demands of a World Cup, the more difficult it will be at the end of the day for the players to play a vital role in the World Cup.
That will do it for this episode. We thank you all for tuning in. Make sure and join us next week as USSoccer.com continues on the road to the roster.